بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا The details of this poem I'm not so aware of. It is something to this effect that this was the time when the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the name Sayyid Qutb, those that had read, when we were young in Madrasa, we used to read of Sayyid Qutb, the Ikhwan, how they were jailed, how they were oppressed. We remember reading the one waqiyah of a woman of that Jama'ah, that she had a dream when she was in jail. She was now climbing a mountain. As she's climbing the mountain, she's seeing the different great people in the past. Everyone sitting on a certain mountain enjoying. And everything is getting greener and greener. And then she's asking, where's Sayyid Qutb? And then they are saying, you're not going to find Sayyid Qutb here. He stays high on the top. There's no way you're going to get him. He's gone right to the top. So these are people who gave their lives. As for this woman, she was in jail. Years later she came out. When she came out, she made bayan of her waqia in jail. She says, remember the time when they sent rats? She could hear the sound at night. They had opened up a tunnel and let rats come in by the hundreds. And it's dark and she's the only one. So she could hear the sound and then she felt it on her body. And then she went into a state of fear and she went unconscious. And in the morning when she woke up, there was nothing on her. She says, when the guard came in, he also looked like. And he just said to her, you witch, you witch. Meaning the command of Allah came and those rats, finding her body motionless, they turned back and they went out again. The guard said. She said, many a time they tried so many things in the jail with her. But she mentioned about this dream of Sayyid Qutb that she had. And on the journey on that mountain was a mountain of Jannah going higher and higher. Every person she's asking, where's Sayyid Qutb? They said, you're not going to find him here. He's high on the top. This poem was written between him and perhaps his sister. When he was not well, then he wrote how difficult it is at the moment. And on this side, perhaps it was his sister or one of the women of the struggle that she replied, and then he replied. So the details of it, I'm not so sure about who is speaking and what they are saying. But this is the talk of one who struggles for Almighty Allah. She says, oh my beloved brother, today you might find yourself ill, and I don't know if you are giving up the struggle, but I find myself like a mountain in steadfastness. I am ready to bang on the other mountains. I am ready. Innani al-yawma sulb al-miras. I am a very, very staunch, firm mountain. Not only am I a mountain, adukka sukhur al-jibal ar-rawas. I am ready to blast and bang against the other strong mountains. Meaning if the empires of evil stand against me, I'm ready to fight. I don't know about you. Tomorrow I will knock with the axe of khalas, the axe which gives a person freedom. I will knock at the heads of the snakes, ila an tabid, until a day comes when there are no more snakes left. When she used the word snakes, it meant the hypocrites, the evil regime. Ghadan sa'ashyahu bifa'sil khalas. Tomorrow I will knock with the axe that gives freedom, رؤوس الأفاعي, the heads of the serpents, إلى أن تبيد, until one day they will come to an end. That effort of the people in that land has continued till today. And Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will give them a day when they will see the result also. Egypt was a very, very important land for the enemies. So much of effort they made In the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi also, they had Egypt. The Fatimi regime put it up in Egypt. Egypt was like central to the entire plan. But a day came when Salahuddin al-Ayyubi got it. Whenever Egypt fell, very soon after that everything else started falling. One day, this effort has continued for years. Tha'atharu. She says, oh my brother, whatever happens to you, don't worry. Even if they kill you, I will take your revenge. Lakin li rabbin wa deenin. But that revenge won't just be to fulfill a desire in my heart. It will be a revenge for my Rabb and for the deen of Allah. Amdi ala sunnati fil yaqeen. I will remain on my path with conviction. Fa imma ila an-nasri fawqa al-anam. Wa imma ila Allah fil khalidin. My result will either be ila an-nasri fawqa al-anam, that I will get success, victory over all men, meaning I will win the war. Wa imma ila Allah fil khalidin. And if that doesn't happen and I'm killed on the spot, then my result will be even better. Then I will be towards Allah fil khalidin, to love with those who will live forever. This is a very unique path. Fa imma ila an-nasri fawqa al-anam. وَإِمَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْخَالِدِينَ. Either I will get victory over all of men, or either I will go to Allah فِي الْخَالِدِينَ, to live forever with all those people who will live forever. أَخِي إِنَّنِي سَئِمْتُ الْكَفَاحِ وَلَا أَنَا أَلْقَيْتُ عَنِّي السِّلَاحِ. Oh my brother, I have not become tired. I am not become tired of the struggle, nor have I thrown off my back my weapon. It seems Sayyid Qutb's words these were. But now it comes that she's writing to him. So perhaps it was her words, his words, whatever it is. She says, oh my brother, I have not become tired of the struggle, nor have I thrown off my back the weapon. فَإِنْ أَنَا مِتُّ فَإِنِّي شَهِيدٌ. If I am killed, if I die, I know I will be a martyr. وَأَنْتَ سَتَمْضِي بِنَصْرٍ مَجِيدٍ. If I die, I'll be a martyr, and you must continue until you get a unique victory from Allah. وَإِنِّي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ مِّن طَرِيقِي. I have full conviction regarding my path. إِلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّ السَّنَاءِ وَالشُّرُوقِ. It is towards an Allah who is the Rabb of making dawn break through all darknesses. These were the poems that people in the past would use. It would be these poems that would give them a lot of himmat. Through Quran and through Ashar, they would remind themselves that victory by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is one of two. Either it is the victory on the battlefield that you survive, or it is the victory that you reach Almighty Allah and you live forever and ever. You know what's the benefit of jihad fi sabilillah? If you die in that path, you don't have to wake up the next morning. No class next morning. When we met those people who went for the battle, some of them came from another country. We asked them, what made you come all the way to Syria? You left so much. So the one person joked, he said, many a person, when they saw the great rewards of jihad fi sabilillah, and more than that, they saw how Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala forgives every sin of the martyr. And then they looked at their life and they said, if I have to die in the condition that I am, I cannot see forgiveness coming for me. He says, so they felt that the easiest way to get forgiveness was to give their blood for Allah. So the man saying that to us, he says, I was one of them. He says, I came running looking for tawbah. He says, but Allah still left me alive. I'm still looking for my tawbah. He says, one of the greatest and the fastest ways to get forgiveness
was when a person offers his life for Almighty Allah. Before the drop of blood hits the ground, that person's every sin is forgiven. So last week we spoke about giving a jawab to the adhan, or listening to the adhan. Today we will just speak about now why did Shariat make it so important that a person must give an answer. So in the ahadith, we will find that mention is made of giving an answer to the adhan in two ways. One is the way we all understand, means reply to the adhan physically. That Allahu Akbar took place, so the body starts moving. If a man doesn't do that there, he has missed his salah. So that is called jawab bil qadam. With your foot, with your body, you reply. That is because adhan in one aspect is a call, come. So Allah Ta'ala made the reply to the call, labbaik, that I must go. If someone calls you, he says a da'wat is taking place. Immediately you start going, it means I replied, I responded. If you tell the person, jazakallah, but the day of the da'wah, you're not there, he'll ask you, why you never come? You say, no, I said jazakallah. He say, but the purpose of the call was you were to be present, you weren't here. So jawab bil qadam. But then Allah Ta'ala wanted one more thing. It is called jawab bil lisan. That answer the adhan with the tongue. Thus many have become negligent of. Because we thought if I'm going with my body, what's the purpose of replying with the tongue? To such an extent that some people felt that if I'm in the masjid already, now I already replied, my body replied. So there's no need for my tongue to reply. Because it doesn't make sense when you tell a person, I'll come for your dawah, and you're already there. So in a normal call, if you're already going, if you're already making wudu, you don't worry of replying to the call with your tongue, because your body is already replying. But in the ahadith, you will see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaking about the virtue of one who replied with the tongue. He speaks so much about that as he spoke about the virtue of the one replying with the body. Where he said, a man who replies with the body on every step, then what and what gets forgiven, what and what stages. So that everyone understood. But he spoke about a special when a man replies with the tongue. When he will read this dua, when he will say this, the doors of the heavens will open. My intercession will become wajib for him. All of that wasn't said for replying with the body. It was said for replying with the tongue. Shaykh Waliullah Rahimullah explains that he says the adhan, it was made as a sign to pick up who responds to Allah quickly and who delays in the response. As soon as the adhan starts, the quicker you want to show that I respond to my Allah, you will start making a move. So that is called jawab with the body and also jawab with the tongue. Why? When a person sends a message and you happily want to show him, I received your message. One is you'll start preparing. But before preparation, you'll even send him a message, Jazakallah, I'm coming. So already from that time, his focus turns towards you. Not only when you start the movement. So he explains one reason of giving jawab with the tongue, even before the body starts moving. Meaning you know you're going. But you start with the tongue, is to get focus immediately. It's to get focus immediately. Jawab bil lisan. Allah Ta'ala looks, immediately the individual says, I'm coming. Your preparations might start after 5 minutes, but already when you responded, that's one. He says, but there was another thing in this adhan. Allah Ta'ala wanted tajdeed of iman. Tajdeed of iman means every adhan, a mu'adhin, like how when a man is dying, you call it talqeen. Laqtinu mawtakum. That someone is dying. So what you do in front of him, you read kalima. But you don't tell him to read kalima. If you had to tell him to read kalima and the pains of death makes him say something bad, it will not sound nice. That he'll tell you, just leave me alone. So you won't tell him read kalima, you'll read kalima. Talqeen. A muadhin has been told 5 times a day, make talqeen. Because that man is dying, so all of us are reading La ilaha illallah. That muadhin is telling me and you, you also like dying. We are dying in this world. So the muadhin makes a talqeen very loud. And what a unique talqeen. He's saying, I know you're so involved in your world. So I don't want to tell you, say Allahu Akbar. Rather let me say Allahu Akbar and I hope you will hear it and you will repeat it. Again, listen to this. The dead man, you will not tell him, read kalima. Because he's so involved in the pangs of death that there's a fear that he might say something that doesn't sound nice. The muadhin sees me and you so involved in the things of this world that there's a fear that if he tells us, read your kalima, we might tell the muadhin, hey, shut up, I'm busy. So the muadhin doesn't say read, the muadhin himself just says it. That adhan is for me and you, tajdeed, talqeen. But what about you? I'm making tajdeed of my iman. What about you? Now when you hear it, think of the dead man and how everyone is waiting for him to read his kalima. Ya Allah, Tabarak Ta'ala is waiting for me and you to respond. That we also so involved in the world. Then the muadhin says, Allah. So first was the tajdeed of Allah is the greatest. And it said in such a way that as soon as we respond, the muadhin is saying, I give shahada. Meaning, what about you? And immediately I say, I also give the shahada. After ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, comes hayya. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. First the meaning, and then regarding the jawab. The meaning, a great scholar of the time, Sheikh Awama, Muhammad Awama rahimullah mentioned, and then our own Muhammad, he mentioned something. Where's our Muhammad? Allama Iqbal, some story about Hayya. You stand up now and say it, I can't remember it, and then I'll repeat it. Sheikh Muhammad Awama rahimullah mentioned that, see, the whole world is looking for success. The whole world. And all that movement that's taking place, which is taking people away from Allah, is only because they're looking for success. So as they busy looking, 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 a muadhin makes an announcement. His first announcement is, why don't you come to salah? So normally the person will look up and says, but that will take me away from my looking for my success. Meaning, are you asking me to cut away? That's normally how it will be understood. That you'll tell the person, can you close your business for a while? It's Jummah. So the man thinks about it, he says, trust Allah, close your business. Meaning lose some business. That's how normally it will be. So when the muadhin calls Hayya ala salah, then before even the man says, okay, I'll come, but that which I was searching for, I will just pause it. The muadhin says to him that, you know what you're looking for? That's also by me. Hayya ala al-falah. That what you're looking for, we're not telling you to pause it. We're telling you, you're looking for it in the wrong place. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. That's a hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Muhammad, what was yours? Allama Iqbal, the great poet of the East, what he said? Stand up quickly and say something about hayya. So same thing he said. Log dund rahe hai kamyabi ko. That the whole world is searching for success. Or muadhin keh raha hai. Whereas the muadhin loudly every day is saying, Hayya ala al-falah. Why don't you come and find your success? The whole world is looking for it away. The muadhin is saying, it's here. So let's do it again. First is, a dead man, you make talqeen. You don't tell the dead man, read kalima. because you're scared he might say, just leave me alone. Me and you are regarded as that person. The muazzin is scared. He is not scared, but this is how it was made. That Shariat is scared. Me and you are so involved in our world. If it has to say to us, are you ready to read Kalima? We might just say, leave me alone. So the muazzin is said, you make talqeen of the whole world. So I am that dead man. I should feel bad now. Talqeen is taking place. So immediately I respond, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Then the muazzin says, I'm making a shahada. What about you? I'll take testimony. Are you ready? And I follow. Then the muazzin says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Hayya ala salah would have meant cut away for a while, pause. Pause your search for whatever you're looking for. But before that thought could come in me that let me pause my search, the muazzin says, no, I'm not telling you to pause your search for success. I'm telling you, you're looking for success in the wrong place. Hayya ala falah. Our answer to Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah is la hawla wa la quwwa illa billah. Now there is a very unique answer. Three kalimas are unique. One is La ilaha illallah. That's a very unique kalima. And Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah is the same. It's just the shahadat of La ilaha illallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then spoke about a treasure from under the arsh of Allah. It is called La hawla wa la quwwa illa billah. That there is no power, there is no might to do anything except with Allah. He says this answer coming in this place is so unique because, you see at the top when I said Allahu Akbar, I said Allah is the greatest. Now when I say La hawla wa la quwwa, there is no might and power to do anything except Allah. See, normally you'll have a man who'll say, wow, he's the greatest. And at the same time his inside says, and I'm also great. He's the greatest and I'm also great. My brother is unique, but me, I'm also unique. I'm not as good as him, but I'm good. But in the adhan, where we took Almighty Allah's praise to the highest, at the same time we reminded ourselves our honor is in our understanding ourselves to be the lowest. So immediately I said, no power to do anything except with Allah. So I said, Allah is the greatest. And when la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, he said, I am so weak. I don't even know if I intend to go to the masjid. Will my body manage to get there? It is only Allah's that He will help me to get there. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Allah is the greatest. That is called, my praise of Allah is the highest. La hawla wa la quwwa, that is creating my abdiyat, and I am the lowest. The lower man understands himself. The scholars of tasawwuf would use this in two sentences. They would say, man arafa rabbah, the one who will recognize his Rabb, he will understand his reality. The one who will recognize his Rabb, he will understand his reality. Meaning, as you go closer and closer to Allah, you will understand how much more istighfar has to come in one's life. From far, it seems I'm good. But as a man starts going closer to Allah, in that mirror of the beauty of Allah, he sees all his faults. Man arafa rabba, when you will say Allahu Akbar, and you see how high that Allah is, you will understand how low I am. Man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba. And it goes the other way. If man's eyes opens on his faults, he will become so ashamed that he will become shy in front of the quality of Allah's covering essence. So now when someone praises him, instead of blowing with pride, he would blow with shukr to Allah. Quietly he'll make sajda and he'll cry, that if only the world knew what I am. Oh Allah, your level of covering is unique. So the one who sees his faults will see the uniqueness of Allah. The one who sees the greatness of Allah will see he is zero. Allahu Akbar was there to say Allah is the highest. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah was there to say, and I am the lowest. All that tasawwuf came in one jawab to the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Just in that answer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, after you have given a jawab to the adhan, Allah tabarak ta'ala becomes so happy, that if a dua has to take place now, one, he said, make the dua of shafa'a. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. He says, you make that dua, that give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that elevated position. He said, you make that dua, my intercession is for you. He said, make any other dua. Because what your jawab to the adhan, la yuraddu du'a bayna al-adhani wal-iqama. A dua that is made between the adhan and the iqama will never go unaccepted. It will never go because so much of Allah's attention fell on the man who only replied. One more time. The jawab with the qadam is necessary. But many a time we think that if I am already there or I know I am going, then there's no need to respond with the tongue. There is, because when you respond with the tongue, it's called immediate response. So you get immediate attention. And the second is the adhan was not meant only as a call, it was meant as a talqeen. So when the people make talqeen of the dead, they're waiting for the dead to respond, the dying, to read his kalima, and everyone gets happy. When the muazzin is making a talqeen, he is waiting for me and you to reply also. Then everyone becomes happy. In the reply, it's three parts. Allah is the greatest. La hawla wa la quwwa. And I am the lowest. He took the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I took it. He gave a message. You're looking for success in the world. Rather, your success is here where I am at the moment. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make when me and you hear the adhan. Whenever we hear the adhan, remember the talqeen, the muazzin is telling me something. He's not just telling me, come to salah. He's expecting something from me. Like how we mentioned from the beginning, this was Shah Waliullah Rahimullah's unique trait. He would try to show that in everything what the world is thinking is one ibadah. Like wudu, everyone thought it's for salah. So as long as I'm making my wuzu, I know I'm getting the salah. The salah is the main thing. He brought attention to, if that was the issue, then wuzu wouldn't be a separate chapter in the ahadith. He said wuzu itself is so important. It was one ibadah Allah just joined to another to give it a time. Replying to the adhan itself is a unique ibadah. And going for the salah is another unique ibadah. When we regarded both as the same, get to the masjid, then we started leaving out one. But the adhan, if Allah wanted, it could have just been a bang. There was some reason why an angel had to teach the adhan, because it was going to give what a message. And it wanted talqeen, that me and you listen to the message, and we reply to the message. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us amongst those. There's a dua that, oh Allah, make us those people that when we heard your call, فَآمَنَّا بِهِ إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيَي يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. We heard a caller calling out to Iman. أَنْ آمِنُوا, that believe, فَآمَنَّا. Oh Allah, we believed. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Oh Allah, forgive us. The errors that we have made on the spot, forgive it. All of that was mentioned after I said, I heard the caller and I responded immediately. Then you make that dua that, oh Allah, keep me firm on the path. Oh Allah, forgive all. On what? I heard the caller and I responded immediately. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us among those who always respond. We make the dhikr of La ilaha illallah and Allah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد
كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
We will make this muraqabah today, that as the muazzin makes talqeen to me, and he's too shy to say to me, O servant of Allah, why don't you read the kalima? So he says it hoping that I will wake up. Now I make talqeen to my heart. And I am also so shy of my heart that it has become so stuck in this world. I am scared if I say to my heart, why don't you read the kalima? My heart might just say, leave me alone. I'm involved in the filth of this world. I'm involved in the pretty girls of this world. I'm involved in the wealth which is haram of this world. Just leave me. So I'm so scared of my own heart, so I make talqeen. That with my tongue I say the kalima, hoping that my heart can listen. Because my heart is also dying. So I make this kalima, hoping that my heart can just say, what's that? And it starts listening. When you see your heart now pumping, look at a heart that is also paying attention. And as kalima goes over it, as the heart is trying to take it in, and depending how much you read your kalima with ikhlas, that is how deep it will penetrate into the heart. I now make talqeen to my heart of the kalima with the hope that my heart can respond.
La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
If the heart has responded, it has turned, it is now ready to accept. This is the ideal time. The hole is still small. The heart has opened up a small. To put one word in the heart, if you got a chance, I only got one chance to put something in the heart. It has to be small, but it has to be unique. It has to be easy for the heart to accept. It has to be beautiful. It has to be sweet. Because someone, when he says, okay, I'm ready to listen, what are you saying? And at that time you want to say something so short, but which will penetrate so well. What other word can there be but Allah? The greatest, the lightest, the sweetest. The creator of the heart. So now you feel, look at your heart, it's looking. It has like opened up. It's waiting for something to be dropped in it. This is that bomb that we will now drop. The bomb of the word Allah, hoping that Allah's love then explodes in our heart.
Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Allah. tawarakala ala our bodies, our hearts, every part of our body to respond to the beautiful name of Almighty Allah. Let dhikrullah not only be on one night when somebody else is making it. It is like talqeen. We have been reminded of the dhikr of Allah. We cannot be like a dead man who then forgets it. Whenever we are, wherever we are, to make the dhikr of Allah with the tongue, to make the dhikr of Allah with the heart. We have to continue reminding our heart. We have to be the mulaqtin, the one reminding our own heart that we are only in this world to live in the happiness of Allah, to die in the happiness of Allah, to be resurrected in the happiness of Allah. A person who fights in the path of Allah, this is the first lesson that they get. That if you are searching for victory on the battlefield, you rather go home. Rather for us it is. That either we will get a victory in this world, but we'll carry on then looking. Or either Allah will take us now and we will be living then forever and ever.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab al-nar. O Allah, in your kindness, make every one of us amongst your most selected servants. Allah, in your kindness, let every one of us be amongst those when we will see your shi'air, when we will see those things that remind the world of you. Allah, we are not the ones who become blind and deaf to it. Allah, we are the first ones who take it, that we take consciousness of it. We look at it, we understand it, we respond to it, we reply to it. Allah, let it not be that we are the ones encouraging others. Worry about the shi'air of Allah, and we ourselves are blind and deaf to it. Allah, let it be when the Muazzin makes his call, we are the first ones to respond. When the Muazzin makes his call, our ear is the first one to listen. Allah, let us not be one who turns away from your call. Allah, let us be those that will always respond to your call. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillah.